So how will this border closure work? We are now joined by Andrew Burridge, a lecturer in human geography at Macquarie University. Good morning.
Good morning, Marlene. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, let's start off by talking about how this border closure will actually work.
Yes, it's an interesting one and fast changing. As we just were saying, we pretty much just wake up to a new era, in a sense, for New South Wales and Victoria. Of course, we've had border closures across Australia now for a number of months. Most states have implemented these in some form or another. So Victoria and New South Wales, while they haven't implemented them, they've been subject to them crossing into Queensland and South Australia, for example. I think we'll see a different approach with New South Wales and Victoria, in part just because of the sheer number of people crossing and the number of highly interconnected communities that straddle the border. So there will need to be some different approaches there, whereas other areas where we've seen border closures that tend to be less densely populated, the exception to that certainly was Tweed Heads and Coolangatta on the Queensland New South Wales border. So that will probably give us some idea of what many of the new restrictions will look like. The permit system seems to be getting off to a difficult start, but it seems that this will be the main way getting exceptions to cross the border at the moment.
And who will be eligible to get a permit to cross the border?
Yes, well, I think we're all eligible in one sense, but there'll be a number of stipulations on what is exceptional travel. The difficulty comes for those residents whose lives quite literally straddle the line on a daily basis. And up until midnight last night, it was a very arbitrary line. So the difficult question will be for residents such as Albury Wodonga, Echuca Moama, and so forth, and how they would get a daily exemption. But I think the state government, as well as police, will be pretty reasonable on that front. But I think the next few days we'll see a number of disruptions.
Yeah, it definitely makes it harder if you were living along the border and you cross every single day. This would be a particularly longer morning to get through.
Yes, very much so. And we, until things such as these closures happen, we really don't think about just how intertwined many people's lives are across the borders, some including farmers we've been hearing whose land straddles the border. So it really does throw up a number of probably unforeseen and really uncharted sort of territory and the issues that will arise.
And why do you think the government chose to close the border now rather than back in March at the start of the pandemic, I guess, in Australia?
Yeah, I think it's been a very, it will have undoubtedly been a difficult decision, something that has been mooted for a number of months, but with a pretty strong reluctance given the significant numbers of crossings, industry and trade and so forth. I think this is, in some cases, a bit of a last-ditch effort, given the severity of what we're seeing, particularly in Melbourne at the moment. But it also is to be determined whether this is a useful approach. There's been some pretty mixed messaging and pretty heated debates, particularly from medical experts, around the actual effectiveness of border closures in dealing with this particular issue, but also a pretty clear recognition that Melbourne, where really we're seeing the outbreak, is a long way from the border, as is most of our major cities tend to not be located within any close proximity of the state border.
And I wanted to ask you, there was a comment made this, I think it was yesterday, by the Australian Industry Group Chief Executive, Innes Wallachs, and I thought I would ask someone who has expertise in human geography and borders about the comment they made about comparing the closure between New South Wales, Victoria with the Berlin Wall, specifically saying the border closure puts up a Berlin Wall between our two biggest states, which represents more than half our national economy and cuts into our country's main economic artery. It's quite an interesting comparison. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's pretty strong and really, I think, a little bit misplaced. Mm. When we start to talk about borders, they really do evoke pretty strong imaginaries and often fears, especially when we hear the term of closure or hard closure. The thing to remember is that borders really never close. Even the Berlin Wall it still acts as a filter. It allows authorities to decide who crosses, but often even authorities can't manage that completely. The border closures that we've seen in Australia and that we'll certainly see from today in New South Wales, Victoria, won't be to an extent that we're having to scale walls in order to get across. Trade has generally not been impacted across Australia, and for better or worse, economic considerations seem to take precedence for our current government. The impacts really are on day-to-day lives. We know that Albury and Wodonga, for example, have a healthcare system that straddles the border, and we have already heard reports that those who require cancer treatment are cancelling their appointments because they cannot cross to get to that treatment at the moment. So those are the kinds of real and sometimes life or death considerations that we will need to face in the coming days and weeks.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we do have to leave it there, but thank you so much for taking the time this morning to discuss it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.